What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station this Wednesday on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
8:14 in the evening. Good evening. I'm George Sells. KMOX at your service. On a little bit of a disappointing opening day. Great game, though. Goodness. What a baseball game that was. It just kept going and going. It's really interesting that baseball has got all these rules in. They're going to speed the games up. They're going to be shorter. They're going to be 2.5 hours. We're going to have the action moving. Well, in this one, we had the action moving, plenty of action, and it just kept going and going and going, because when you have more than 30 hits and, what was it, 19 runs total, I believe, you're going to end up with a long ball game, and that's certainly what we had today on opening day at St. Louis. Anything going on today? That's a good question, too. Obviously, opening day was the whole thing for most of the day in St. Louis, and we'll talk about it. We're going to talk about it quite a bit. Want to hear from you, by the way. 314-436-7900 is the number. 314-436-7900 if you want to weigh in on the Cardinals here in the first hour. And my plan all day, you know, I got up this morning, went to my day job, and I'm thinking this is going to be a pretty obvious day. We're just going to do post-game show extended. We're going to do baseball. And we'll talk Cardinals, and more Cardinals. Hopefully it'll be a good game. It was. Hopefully there'll be a Cardinals win. Okay, you can't have everything. But figure out, okay, that's going to be the deal. We'll just do a couple hours of Cardinals and do the post-game show and call it a day. And then I am at the office this afternoon, and all of a sudden look up and see Donald Trump indicted on a TV screen. And suddenly we have more to talk about. So the way I'm kind of looking at playing this whole thing out is we're going to spend the rest of the 8 o'clock hour talking Cardinals. We'll be joined here in about 15 minutes or so by a friend of the show, Kevin Wheeler, of the show during the day here on KMOX. Of course, Kevin, longtime sports guy, so we're going to go back into Kevin's love of sports and pick his brain on what he saw on the field today at Busch Stadium. And then coming up in our next hour, we'll get into some of the indictment of former President Trump. John Hancock will be joining us of Hancock and Kelly fame coming up a little after 9 o'clock. And we'll spend some time with John and talk about what is going on with the former president indicted in New York City today. Expectations at this point are that he will come to New York City sometime early next week. Tuesday is the day that's being kicked around right now. And they are already ramping up security in New York, and it's going to be quite something to see on that front. I don't think there's any question about it. That the next several days are going to be very interesting to watch around this country as we really hit uncharted territory. A former president has never been indicted. Closest we've come in modern times, obviously Richard Nixon. The opposite happened there. He resigned and was then pardoned by President Gerald Ford, who replaced him in the months following. That brought its own bit of controversy at the time. In fact, a lot of people believed that the reason Jimmy Carter was elected president was because Gerald Ford pardoned Nixon. And if he hadn't done it, history would have been different. Always an interesting thought when you start thinking about those what-ifs in presidential history and how the world might be different had that gone down differently, had Bill Clinton not gotten into the troubles he got into, had Al Gore gotten a few extra votes back in the year 2000. These are all things that a little slight change could have made the world a very different place. But one thing we have never seen in this country is a former president facing an indictment and now presumably facing a trial. So we're going to get into that coming up here in the 9 o'clock hour. But right now, Where do you even start with the St. Louis Cardinals? I will start with it was a Chamber of Commerce opening day at Busch Stadium. Weather could not have been nicer. Big crowd, of course, you would expect that. Second largest crowd in the history of Busch Stadium, I heard someone say. And that is certainly an impressive thing when you think of some of the big crowds we've seen at the ballpark over the years. And like I said, the day couldn't have been more gorgeous. And the baseball game was fascinating. A couple of the things that jump out at you right now, or jumped out at me. For starters, have you ever seen so many barely hit balls drop in as hits? You got the old saying, hit them where they ain't. Well, boy, there was a lot of that happening. I mean, the little slow rollers down the line that looked like they're rolling foul and, you know, barely travel a foot off the plate before they hit the ground the first time, and all of a sudden, base hit. Then another, throw in a walk here, something there. And so there was some rough luck there, particularly for Cardinal pitching, particularly for Miles Michaelis, who went out, didn't seem like he was pitching that badly. I'm a little at a loss on that, because from what I could see, and one of those people got a day job, as many of you out there do, so I was trying to sneak peeks at the TV where I could, sneak a listen to the radio when I had to run out of the office real quick, doing what I could to keep up with what was going on. But by all indications, Michaelis was not throwing a bad game, and then boom, you're down three. You get a run back, you're down, then they get another run, then you're down again. Lots of these little slow rollers and things like that. And next thing you know, Miles Michaelis doesn't even get out of the fourth inning. Of course, neither did Toronto's pitcher. That was a shock. All I'm hearing for 3 days is how he's going to come in here and blow the doors off the Cardinals lineup, because we've all seen great pitching will take on great hitting. He didn't get out of the fourth inning either. So go figure. Is this a prelude of things to come? What do you think of what you saw on the field today? Because we definitely saw the Cardinals' offense living up to its potential, so to speak. Anybody who's wondering if this club can swing the bat or what things will look like when this offense is clicking on all cylinders got a real good look at that today. Because this team put 9 runs on a very good ball club. They put several runs on a starting pitcher that is an all-star caliber starting pitcher. This was the kind of team you'll play in a playoff series come October if you get that far. And you should get that far if you've got this kind of firepower. So very encouraging on the offensive side of the ball. Pitching, well, that's another thing altogether. And again, a lot of it didn't seem bad. Michaelis didn't seem bad. So I'm not as worried there. Ryan Helsley worries the daylights out of me. I mean, his last two appearances at Busch Stadium now, the appearance against the Phillies trying to save the first game of the playoff series, and then this appearance today, that's not been pretty. Now, granted, one has nothing to do with the other, and there was an injury issue back in the fall, and today, you know, the things that all come with opening day and a very difficult lineup to pitch to. But when you're looking at a club that you're relying on that back end of the bullpen, you're relying on that Jordan Hicks, Ryan Helsley, we're going to bring back-to-back guys throwing 100 miles an hour at you, and we're going to slam the door in your face every single night. And that's what this team needs to be able to do. When you're relying on that, and you didn't get that, you didn't get anywhere close to it with Helsley today, a little bit concerning. Now, granted, it's one game. I'm not going to freak out, lose my mind over one game and one appearance by a guy who clearly has great stuff, was an all-star last year, no reason to think he won't be this year if he gets things on track. But it is a little unsettling when he goes out there, can't find the plate, also had some bad luck as far as a couple of weekly hit balls that fell in here and there. But you go out and walk the first guy on 4 pitches, and that's not going to do you any good. Then your other bit of a concern, and I'm sure we're going to get into all of this with Kevin, your shiny new toy, as Miles Michaelis called him, Wilson Contreras, your brand new high priced catcher takes 103 miles an hour to the kneecap, has to leave the game. Now, good news is they're reporting that the x-rays were negative. Makes me feel better. Good thing. They're still going for an MRI to check things out. A kneecap can be a dicey injury. Not a pleasant one. Producer Gary spinning the dials. He's nodding over here at me. Kneecap is not a good thing, especially not good for a guy who's going to have to sit in a crouched position for the next 162 games, give or take a break here and there. Not exactly how you want to start the season with a big welt on that knee. And here's hoping a welt is all it is. Sounds, again, encouraging that there was no breakage. Had a friend years ago. Tell me this doesn't suck. Woman falls on the ice in the wintertime, busts her kneecap. And I mean shatters it. They had to go in there, do surgery, and put Humpty Dumpty back together again. Goes an entire year going through recuperation, finally gets back to where she's feeling something like normal after a whole year, slips on the ice again and breaks the thing all over again the following year. It has to go through the process again. Wow. That, talk about depressing. Now, Wilson Contreras hopefully will not have to endure anything like that. That was a little sidelight. Good karma for Wilson Contreras, as he hopefully will be feeling back up to speed in a couple of days, though you have to wonder if this isn't going to be one of those things where go ahead and let him heal up because it's a long season ahead. Maybe you sit him out the rest of the weekend and just let him get better or get close to better. And we're going to ask Wheels about that coming up here at 8:30 as well, because if you didn't know, Kevin used to be a catcher, so he can tell you about his as well as anyone. He was an NCAA catcher, Division I ball player, and he knows as well as anybody the bumps and bruises that come with the position. So, once again, to recap, Cardinals up until 9. Then we'll have Kevin Wheeler coming up here in our next segment, talk more about that. In the 9 o'clock hour, if you want to talk about the Trump indictment, we're going to have John Hancock joining us, and we will have plenty of time in the 9 o'clock hour to get into all that. It is 8:26 in the evening. My name is George Sells, here with you until 10. KMOX is at your service. Opening day in St. Louis.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station this Wednesday on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
KMOX at your service, 8:31 on a Thursday night, an opening day night in St. Louis. Opening day night, that doesn't make a lot of sense. George Sells with you until 10 o'clock. We're talking Cardinal baseball, and an eventful day, certainly an eventful opening day. A Chamber of Commerce opening day, if you're talking about the weather. It was also raining runs at Busch Stadium. And to talk about it, one of our favorite friends of the show, Mr. Kevin Wheeler, joining us on the line. Kevin, thanks for joining us this evening.
Glad to do it, George. How you doing?
Doing great, doing great. Want to start out with you. For those who don't know, Kevin, of course, broadcaster extraordinaire, but was also a college baseball catcher at the University of Miami. And Kevin, want to start with you talking about what we can expect about a catcher who's got a fresh bump from 103 mile an hour fastball on his knee.
Well, basically it's going to depend on if there's a fracture, right? Which I would doubt. I mean, I don't think I've ever been hit in that spot by 103. But I've been hitting that spot, and it hurts even with less than 103.
I believe it.
You immediately get like a knot in there, and obviously you can't squat. It's hard to move. So there's always a possibility, depending on, you know, where the ball hit, you could have had, a small fracture somewhere. But barring that, I would imagine it's probably just a few days. But, you know, it's going to be, I'm sure the Cardinals in the front office are going to be holding their breath until – to get the rest of the scans that they were looking at today.
Yeah, they say x-rays are negative, but they're going to do MRIs to check for more and that sort of thing. Assuming that the initial report is accurate, x-rays are negative, do we see him this weekend? What do you, I mean, obviously, if we're in the playoffs right now, he's going to gut it out and play. But first weekend of the season, do you just sit him down and let him recover and get ready for the long grind that is 161 games left?
I mean, if there's any doubt, yes. But, I mean, you're probably just going to listen to him. You know, those. It is a different world when you're talking about 103 miles an hour versus what most mortals face when they're playing, you know, playing baseball. But those are the kind of things that could feel better the next day. And sometimes it takes a week. You know, I mean, every one of them is a little different. Again, you know, with the X-rays being negative, that's a good sign. The more detailed scans, though, could still show something. So, again, we want to be cautious. But honestly, I wouldn't guess at it. Wouldn't shock me if he's back in there Saturday. Wouldn't shock me if it takes a handful of days longer than that.
Well, let's go big picture. I'm worried about the Cardinals offense people have been silenced. I'm worried about the Cardinals pitching people are standing on rooftops around St. Louis right now. What was your impression? Obviously first game, a sample size of one, but what did you see out there today?
I mean, you saw a great mix of terrible and awesome. Right? I mean,
yep.
You went up against one of the best pitchers in the American League last year and knocked him out of the game in the fourth inning. You know, you put up 9 runs. You had 15 hits. You know, you got a couple of home runs in there. I think every starter registered a hit, if I'm not mistaken. You know, the Walker, the rookie, gets his first major league hit and his first major league at bat. So, again, but, you know, we didn't learn anything today. I mean, you know, just like we didn't learn anything about Miles. We learned that Miles was missing a lot in the middle of the zone, and the Blue Jays hitter didn't miss it. Just like we learned the same thing about Manoah, right? Manoah wasn't on his game, and the Cardinals rocked him too. I mean, both of those guys gave up 5 earned runs in 3 1/3, and both of them are way better than that. And you know, that's not really a big concern. I would say that if you have worries about what happened at the back end of the pen with Pallante and Hicks and Helsley all struggling, it's impossible to know if it means anything in one game. You know, Helsley was so good from all of last year. I don't think I'd want to read into this. You know, you have some existing worries with Hicks because he's been kind of up and down and had injury problems for several years. So you can have that. I don't feel any more or less concerned about anything based on what I saw today. So whatever I thought before, it's basically still what I think now.
Helsley, I think, was the one that of all of those that made me the most nervous, and maybe it was just the echo of the memory from the last time he was on the mound in Busch Stadium in this past fall, and the way things fell apart in Game 1 of that playoff series, I realized that logically that is apples and oranges and a ton of time in between, but there's just that. I guess it's that little thing where you hope that he hasn't gotten into his head, you know?
Yeah, I mean, look, I get the difficulty when we're observing from the outside because we don't have the feel of it. We don't have any control over it. So when you don't have control over things or full knowledge of why things happened, then you start to fill in the blanks, right, with your own either intuition or your own observations. And, you know, the problem here is if he goes out for the next 15 games and doesn't give up a run, then what are we even talking about? And if any of these guys who pitched today have a crappy day like this in July, when they've strung together 12, 14, 20 good outings, whatever, you don't really think of it. But when it happens right out of the gate, it seems like more than it is, because when you look up on the scoreboard, you see an 18 earned run average, right? You look up on the scoreboard and see a 13 and a half for Michaelis.
It's insane. And it was the one thing I kind of felt bad for Michaelis, because it just felt like, I mean, I think the line he used in the post game was death by a thousand cuts. All these little, a bloop there, a mishit ball there. And it just seemed like it was hit them where they ain't on steroids.
There was definitely some of that, but he gave up some rockets too. I mean, I would say it's pretty. it'd be a little bit unfair for him to suggest that it was all of that. Now, he did get beat by some of those. I mean, look, he made some good pitches that did not end up in outs, and that's a frustrating thing when you're a pitcher. In fact, you know, when you're a pitcher, you'd almost rather give up the hard contact, because then at least you know you did something wrong. You know, when you do something right and don't get rewarded for it, that's where it tends to get a little bit more frustrating. But yeah, I mean, look, you know, there were a couple of balls hit against Michaelis that were well over 100 miles an hour in that first. So in the first inning alone, George Springer hit a ball 101 miles an hour. Vlad hit one 105. Dalton Varsho's double into the corner was 112 and a half. Brandon Belt had a line out at 96. I mean, you know, he got hit hard at times, but you're right. He also had some of those bleeders and bloopers that fell in that normally don't. You know, Matt Chapman's single would normally be the early game one, the first inning one, normally you have a batting average of 150 on that ball hit at that velocity in that spot. It's just dumb luck that it falls in. But, you know, I mean, as I'm looking up and down the StatCast sheet here, I still see plenty of hard contact. I still see, if I'm counting them, you know, just in the first inning, you had three over 100 miles an hour. And keeping in mind that major league average exit velo is about 89, that's a lot. You know, he had five in that first inning that were well above what would be considered major league average. And then you had Bichette later. You had another one from Alejandro Kirk. You know, so again, I don't want to belabor the point, but he definitely got beat on some of those bloopers, and that's what makes the Rockets more painful.
Yeah. Jordan Walker gets out there. I think the thing I liked most about what I saw with him, I'll do most and least. What I liked most about what I saw from him was get that first hit, the first time at the plate. There's no waiting around and pressing and all the things that come with being a rookie ball player. The thing I liked least, it seemed like every time he was making a play in the outfield when runners were on base, he was missing a cutoff man, throwing it up the line. It looks like we're going to have some growing pains here, particularly with a kid who was really a third baseman who they just said, okay, Arenado's here, you're going to have to figure out the outfield.
Yeah, he definitely had a couple of those. There was one that, you know, I mean, they didn't all damage the team, but, you know, there was one in particular early that was pretty noticeable where you had a, ball hit into him and, the base runner, the guy that hit it was rounding first and was going to be holding on a single, and his throw went more towards second base while there was a runner heading toward third. That throw needed to go to the cutoff man in front of him. But, I mean, it's lack of experience, man. He didn't play very much outfield last year. He's never really played a lot of it, but he's going to get better at it. He's got all of the physical abilities. He runs really well for a big dude.
That was amazing, that ground ball he beat out. I mean, he's a big guy.
Yeah, he can move. He's no slug, man. He can run, even though he's big. He's a good athlete. He's got a tremendous throwing arm. What he doesn't have are years and years of repetitions in those things, and they'll keep working on him. Those are the things I'm not worried about with him, because one thing I know in observing him, and it was reported about him when he was still a high school player before he was ever drafted, so before he was ever a Cardinal, he was noted for his intelligence and his work ethic. So, you know, I don't have any worries about that. But, yeah, it's inexperience. It's just up.
Putting the bat on the ball, that looked good. He's exciting. Are you as excited as the rest of us about this young man, 20 years old, who was probably trying to talk one of the guys into letting him have a beer in the locker room after the game today?
Oh, I'm in, man. I mean, I know this isn't usually very helpful in any of the jobs that I've held, but I'm a prospects nerd. I'm a draft nerd. The guys that are going to be drafted this coming June, I've been following for a couple of years, both high school and college. Seen some of these guys even in person before they've been drafted. I've coached against some of them in summer ball over the years. It's something that I've always followed, and he's a guy that even before we knew he was going to be a Cardinal, was super intriguing because of the combination of arm strength and power. And anybody that has the raw power that he does, I mean, his just sheer strength and ability to hit the ball over the fence isn't matched by very many prospects. I mean, he would probably be in the top 5 to 10 power hitting prospects if you're going to just measure just power. not counting the rest of the game, just their power, he would be one of the 5, 6, 7, 8 best coming into this calendar year. But then when you think about the whole game, right, smart work, hard worker, a guy that learns fast, a guy that adapts, guy that can put the bat on the ball and not just hit for power, but be a good hitter too and can run and throw. I've always been in on Jordan Walker. And I will say this, I'm always a little surprised when a guy gets to the big leagues this fast, because 2 years ago he was playing high school ball.
That's amazing.
Like 2 years ago, this guy's playing high school baseball. Maybe three. I can't remember if he was a 2020 or 2021. Either way, he's only 20 years old. Yeah, I think it was 2020 because he was a 17-year-old in high school. So again, 3 years ago, he's playing high school baseball.
And he lost a season basically in 2020.
Right. In 2020, the high school season got shut down. They probably did play some of that summer ball, and we did play some summer ball that year, but it was more limited with less travel than it was before. So, yeah, I mean, you have that, and then you have, what I would say is a remarkable run last year in the minor leagues. Again, he was 19 for a good bit of last year and ended up going up to, having success at AA, and it's not easy to do that. So, the sheer fact that at that age you're even in the conversation to be a big leaguer tells you about the advanced, not just the advanced skills, but the advanced nature of him as a ball player. And George, when we were doing pregame today, Tom Ackerman and I, before the actual pregame, so I guess we had the pregame to the pregame.
and now you get the post to the post.
yeah. We had Ozzie Smith in, and Ozzie was talking about him, and he's like, he's just a ball player. Forget age. Just forget that he's a ball player. He knows what he's doing. He's very talented. He's going to be fine.
Well, here we sit, 161 games to go. You've seen one game out of this team, but we've kind of known what we've had to anticipate, that sort of thing. What are you most excited about, and what has you thinking this could be an exciting year with this team? And how exciting a year could this be with this team? There's a lot of potential there.
Oh, yeah, I agree. Look, there are definitely concerns. This is not a team that you would look at and say, well, they don't have any worries. They're going to be just fine. I mean, they have worries, like the vast majority of teams. I can't think of very many that don't have any. Heck, even the Dodgers have significant concerns this year. Maybe the Braves are the ones with the least amount of concerns. But, this is a team that won 93 games last year, and to me there's zero question that this roster is better. You can't forecast who's going to be healthy and who's going to get hurt, but with reasonable health, there's no question to me they're a better team than last year. Doesn't mean you win more games, because keep in mind, they don't get to beat up on the Central as much as they have in the past. It's a balanced schedule, so, they're not going to have 19 games against the Pirates and against the Reds and the Cubs to load up on the win. So they might be similar in terms of win total, around 93, but actually be a better team. And when you look at the lineup that you see today, I mean, you've got guys like Nolan Gorman and Jordan Walker hitting seventh and eighth. I mean, those are top 100 power hitting prospects. Those are elite. I mean, Jordan Walker is one of the four or five best prospects in the sport, and those guys can hit seventh and eighth in this lineup. Now, a lot of it's contingent on Tyler O'Neill reverting to form, Lars Nootbaar carrying over what he did last year. Same thing for Donovan. But when you've got guys like and Dylan Carlson on the bench, I think some pretty good young hitters like Juan Yepes that are going to be in the minor league. The depth is phenomenal. The offense should be great. The bullpen, I think, will be fine regardless of what we saw today, barring injuries. But I think the biggest worry is the top of the rotation, not the rotation as a whole. Their depth is good, and they've got good depth even at AAA. They've got a solid 7, 8, 9 guys that can start games. But the question will be later in the year, how good is the very top? Is Jack Flaherty an ace-level player pitcher, or is he not? And if he's not that, maybe that's the piece you need to get in July.
Yeah, that's the question to me, I think, all along. And we've seen Flaherty at his best, maybe can be this. But your question always is, who are you starting against Max Scherzer? Who are you starting against Marcus Stroman? Or somebody along those lines, those top line, the stopper, the guy that everybody knows every 5 days, you're going to go out with that guy and have a chance to win and probably will win. And does it feel like we've got that guy?
I don't know. I mean, like, Flaherty at his peak has shown that he can be that good, but you know, when you've got the uncertainty of the injuries, you know, that have kind of mucked up these last two or three years, it's hard to know whether or not he's going to get to that and maintain it. And I don't, you know, that's not really what Miles is. It's not really what Waino is at this point. It's not really what Montgomery or Matts are. So, but again, the good news is you have enough depth to still be in first place by the time you need to make that call. But I think that's the question, is for the playoffs, do you have enough at the top end of the rotation? That's to me the biggest question about the team for the whole year. And because I do believe they're going to win the division. I think they're going to be in the playoffs. We'll find out between now and the trade deadline whether that develops internally. And if it doesn't, that's, you know, with their depth that I've been talking about, both at the major and minor league level, that can, you can use that to maybe go get someone who fits more at the top of the rotation for a playoff run.
Final question very quickly. Is there any chance, do you think, that we will get a Major League Baseball first where Adam Wainwright can sing the national anthem and then start a game on the same day?
I would bet not, because when that anthem's being played, usually you're in the pen warming up.
That was quite the surprise today.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it?
Absolutely. Well, Kevin, listen, we enjoy you on the show, but we miss you doing all sports all the time. But thank you for joining us tonight. Have a great evening. Thanks for talking Cardinal baseball with us.
Glad to do it, George. We'll see you, bud.
All righty. 8:49, George Sells with you. More Cardinals talk coming up next. Give us a call, 314-436-7900. Want to hear from you about the Cardinals coming up just a few minutes here. George Sells, KMOX, at your service. KMOX at your service. 8:54. Running up against the clock. We'll be pretty quick here. Things to take in from your opening day in St. Louis, kind of all that we've already hit on as far as we've got an exciting team. Got a team with an exciting offense out on the field. That's going to be a lot of fun as we go throughout the year. I do have a question for you, and maybe we'll get into this later on. You can hit me up on Twitter if you want, by the way, at George Sells, or you can give us a call next hour, 314-436-7900. Trying to decide possibly on pulling together some kind of a little baseball road trip, a stop or two. I've never been to a Cardinals game at Wrigley. Been to Wrigley, but never been to a Cardinals game there. I've never been to the ballpark in Pittsburgh at all. Haven't been to the ballpark in Cleveland at all. Just places you could kind of run a road trip together, maybe run a couple of parks together. Haven't been to the new Comiskey. Went to the old one years ago. But that's another thought. So, trying to think, you know, what's a good drivable Midwest road trip for a St. Louis baseball fan? If you've got any ideas on that, we'll get with you sometime in the next hour. You can give us a call again, 314-436-7900, or you can hit me up on Twitter at George Sells, because I'd love to hear from you on that front. But first, coming up here in the 9 o'clock hour, the day's other very big news. The first time ever we have had an ex-president of the United States indicted by a grand jury. The information is flowing in pretty quickly. There's a lot of sources say this and that kind of stuff going on. We're going to get into a little bit of that. We're going to get into a little of what it all means. Our good friend John Hancock will be joining us here at the top of the hour, if all goes according to plan. And so we're going to get his thoughts on where this is going. And what it really entails, what impact this might have on the election in 2024. Lots going on. It's 8:56. I'm George Sells. Here with you till 10. KMOX is at your service.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's a brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station this Wednesday on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
KMOX at your service, 8:54. Running up against the clock. We'll be pretty quick here. Things to take in from your opening day in St. Louis, kind of all that we've already hit on as far as we've got an exciting team. Got a team with an exciting offense out on the field. That's going to be a lot of fun as we go throughout the year. I do have a question for you. And maybe we'll get into this later on. You can hit me up on Twitter if you want, by the way, at George Sells, or you can give us a call next hour, 314-436-7900. Trying to decide possibly on pulling together some kind of a little baseball road trip, a stop or two. I've never been to a Cardinals game at Wrigley. Been to Wrigley, but never been to a Cardinals game there. I've never been to the ballpark in Pittsburgh at all. Haven't been to the ballpark in Cleveland at all. Just places you could kind of run a road trip together and maybe run a couple of parks together. Haven't been to the new Comiskey. Went to the old one years ago. But that's another thought. So trying to think, you know, what's a good drivable Midwest road trip for a St. Louis baseball fan? If you've got any ideas on that, we'll get with you sometime in the next hour. You can give us a call again, 314-436-7900, or you can hit me up on Twitter at George Sells, because I'd love to hear from you on that front. But first, coming up here in the 9 o'clock hour, the day's other very big news. The first time ever we have had an ex-president of the United States indicted by a grand jury. The information is flowing in pretty quickly. There's a lot of sources say this and that kind of stuff going on. We're going to get into a little bit of that. We're going to get into a little of what it all means. Our good friend John Hancock will be joining us here at the top of the hour, if all goes according to plan. And so we're going to get his thoughts on where this is going. And what it really entails, what impact this might have on the election in 2024. Lots going on. It's 8:56. I'm George Sells, here with you till 10. KMOX is at your service.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station this Wednesday on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.